thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We're thankful that you are a part of our congregation today, trusting the Lord will make our service a real blessing to you. Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of sharing this broadcast service with this precious people today. We're thankful for each one who is in our congregation, and I know that you love each one and you care for each one. So we're praying for our congregation that you'll meet their needs, whatever they might be. If there be any unsaved in our audience, may the love of God reach them and help them to realize and to know that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we thank you for all of your rich blessings, and we pray that you'll take our service and make it a blessing to each one. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Discouraged, my lungs are too bare. I
Our subject for today's broadcast, Why We Need Jesus Christ. And our text of scripture is found in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. There are many things, varied things, that we need as we journey through this life, both physically and spiritually. But the greatest need of all is Jesus Christ. And I repeat that, the greatest need of all is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was truly human. He had a physical body, essentially the same as other men. He was born into the world as a human being. Also, in addition to a complete human nature, he possessed a complete divine nature. He was truly God manifest in the flesh. The divine nature in its pre-existent form before the incarnation was a person. Yet Christ was one person, not two. A quote from Russell Byram, the late Russell Byram, as the Savior of men, Christ is described in the Scriptures as King, Prophet, and Priest. So he is represented in Old Testament predictions of his messianic character and work. Among the people of Israel, the kings, the prophets, and the priests were distinct offices, usually held by different individuals. In Christ, they are all three combined. Yet they represent distinct aspects of his redemptive work and real offices. Again, a quote from Russell Byram. He is our mediator. There is one God, or one mediator between God and men. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 18. This God did by offering Christ as the sacrifice for our sins. This mediation is to bring about a reconciliation between God and the unsaved, a bringing of God and man into union. This reconciliation was made possible by the atonement of Christ by his death. This is termed perpetuate in the Scriptures, which means to turn away the wrath of an offended person. Jesus is the only way to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus spoke, as recorded by the Apostle John in chapter 14 and verse 6. We need Jesus, for he is the only way a sinner can be reconciled to God. Yes, he is the only way that a sinner can be reconciled to God. Jesus intercedes for us to God. We read in Romans 8 and 34, it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. To obtain forgiveness, one must repent of his sins. Now, I realize that there are many in the religious world who say, well, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there are multitudes of people who supposedly believe on Christ, but they are still not a true child of God. To obtain forgiveness, I say, one must repent of his sins. Only as godly sorrow is wrought in the heart of the sinner by the gracious workings of the Spirit of God can he truly repent. This godly sorrow, which produces repentance, was made possible through the atonement, through the death of Christ. And let me emphasize this thought of godly sorrow. A lot of people sign a decision card, or maybe they're baptized, or they do this, or they do that, but they don't have that true godly sorrow that is necessary. It is this true godly sorrow that produces repentance, and true repentance produces salvation. And again, This was made possible only through the atonement of Jesus Christ. But signing a decision card doesn't save anybody. Joining church doesn't save anyone. It is only the atoning blood of Christ that is able to cleanse from sin. Christ died in our stead. Remember what the Apostle John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." So Christ died in our stead. The Scriptures represent Christ as having died as a substitute for us. His death was vicarious, which simply means taking the place of another. So his death was vicarious. He took our place. He died in our stead. Had he not died, we must have died. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many, or in other words, for all. Matthew 20:28. We're told that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man, and that God so loved the world of people, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. So Christ died in our stead. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we read in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. Christ died to perpetuate God. To perpetuate, again I say, is to turn away the wrath of an offended person. How many people in my congregation today remember or recognize the fact that God is offended by sin? God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. So we read in Psalm 7:11. Yes, God is love, but God also has the capacity or the ability to be angry. And God is angry with the sinner every day because he is transgressing God's law, living contrary to God's will, seeking his own rather than seeking first the kingdom of God. In the present condition or consideration, man is the offender and God is the offended one. And only Jesus Christ can turn away the wrath of God and bring us into favor with God. And again, he gave his life on the cross, shed his blood to make this possible. And thank God he rose again the third day. He did not remain in that tomb. And he is now at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Christ died to redeem man. Again, referring to Isaiah 53 and 6, we read, "We turned away from God. We sold ourselves to sin. We could not redeem ourselves. Jesus gave himself to buy us back." I mentioned on a previous broadcast how that more than 4 million people had signed a petition requesting the Pope of that time to declare Mary as co-redeemer with Christ. Such a teaching would be indeed ridiculous and contrary to the Word of God. There is only one Savior. There's only one Mediator. There's only one Redeemer who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a separate people zealous of good works. So we read in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. You are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, so the apostle Peter declared, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Now there are wonderful benefits and blessings because of the atonement. Salvation from the penalty of sin is one of the great blessings that we have through the atonement. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. So we read in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17. The scriptures tell us that God said he would wipe our sins out of his remembrance and remember them against us forever no more. He would remove them from us as far as the east is from the west. So one of the great benefits of the atonement is being delivered from the penalty of sin. Delay of physical death. The only ground, and this is a quote again from Russell Byram, the only ground for delay in the execution of physical death is the atonement of Christ. Otherwise, Adam and Eve would have died physically, and there would have been no human race. So one of the great blessings of the atonement is the extension of physical life, that we do not die the moment we commit sin. Every blessing, physically and spiritually, is due to the existence of itself. And existence is an unconditional benefit of the atonement. Also, eternal life is one of the great benefits of the atonement. We have hope beyond this time world. Eternal life means eternal life. But if we die in our sins, it means eternal death. So one of the great atonements, or one of the great blessings and benefits of the atonement, is the removal of the penalty of sin, the extension of life physically, and eternal life in the world to come. There are many other things that could be mentioned in the way of blessings, but whatever we may speak of, all were made possible because of the atonement. Truly, we need Jesus. Without him, we would have no hope, and of all men, be most miserable. The Apostle John, or Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15:19 said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But in Christ, we have not only salvation from our sins, but we have the hope of eternal life. We go beyond this world into the next world to be with Christ if we take advantage of the atonement. And remember, the atonement was him giving himself to die in our place. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of God that brought Jesus into this world. We're thankful for the love that Jesus had for us in that he was willing to give his life so that we could have life. Bless these scriptures and thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We do trust that it has been a blessing. If so, why not let us know? Our postal address is the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email address. And our fax number, 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. On our webpage, you may read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, and we also have an archive of previous broadcasts. If you missed any or you would like to hear one over, you may go to our webpage address and go there to our broadcast archives. Again, our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. We'd also invite you to be with us, if possible, in our services. Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, our evening service at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Again, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being with us on the broadcast today, and we invite you to tune in the station next week when, again, the Lord willing, will be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. May the Lord's blessings abide upon each and every one of you is our sincere prayer.